Barefoot and groggy, the most powerful athlete on the planet hid behind a locked bathroom door. For years, like an escape artist, he had been able to cover the tracks of his secret life. Not this time. His wife was finally on to him. But there was so much more she didn't know, so much more that no one knew. It was around 2 a.m. on Friday, November 27, 2009, the day after Thanksgiving. His mind likely clouded by prescription drugs, the man so obsessed with privacy couldn't have foreseen that his next move would shatter his picture-perfect image and lead to the steepest fall from grace in the history of modern sport. Tiger Woods opened the door and fled. 2 days earlier, the National Enquirer, hot on his trail for months, had published a bombshell story, Tiger Woods' cheating scandal, with pictures of a stunning 34-year-old New York nightclub hostess by the name of Rachel Uchitel. The supermarket tabloid accused Tiger of orchestrating a racy rendezvous with Uchitel a week earlier in Melbourne during the Australian Masters. Insisting it was just another lie, Woods had taken the extraordinary step of putting Uchitel on the phone with his wife, but after 30 excruciating minutes, Elin still wasn't buying her husband's story. She might have been blonde and beautiful, but she wasn't stupid. And after Tiger returned to the house Thanksgiving evening after playing cards with some of the boys down at the club in their gated Isleworth community outside Orlando, Elin waited until he had taken an Ambien and drifted off to sleep. It was well after midnight when she took Tiger's phone and started scrolling. A single text from Tiger to a mysterious recipient cut her heart in two. "You are the only one I've ever loved." Elin stared at those words, then used Tiger's phone to send a text of her own to the unknown person. "I miss you," Elin typed. "When are we seeing each other again?" Within seconds, a return text appeared, expressing surprise that Tiger was still awake. Elin dialed the number. A woman answered in the same smoky voice that she had heard professing innocence the day before. "Uchitel!" "I knew it," Elin shouted. "I knew it!" "Oh, fuck," Uchitel said. Moments later, Elin's shouting roused Woods from his slumber. Stumbling half-dazed out of bed, he took his phone and retreated to the bathroom. "She knows," he texted Uchitel. But in truth, Woods didn't fear the woman standing on the other side of the bathroom door. He'd been cheating on her for years with dozens of women, feeding an insatiable appetite for sex that had spiraled into an out-of-control addiction. No. The only woman he had ever truly feared was the one sleeping in a guest room in another part of the mansion, his mother, who was visiting for the holiday. Now a widow for more than 3 years, Clotilda Woods had endured what was at times a humiliating marriage that included verbal abuse, neglect, and adultery. Tiger worshipped his father, but he hated how he'd broken his mother's heart. For Tiger's sake, Clotilda never divorced Earl, choosing instead to preserve the family name and dedicate her life to raising her only child to be a champion. Reputation and Tiger, nothing mattered more than those two things to Clotilda. When Tiger was young, his mother had laid down the law. "You will never, ever ruin my reputation as a parent," she told him, "because I will beat you." When he was a boy, the fear of her hand helped keep Tiger in line. Now that he was a man, there was nothing more terrifying than the prospect of his mother learning that he had followed in his father's footsteps. Looking her in the eye would be brutal. Wearing nothing but shorts and a t-shirt, Woods emerged from the golf house into the 40-degree air. Elin reportedly gave chase with the golf club in hand. In an attempt to get away, Tiger hustled into his Cadillac Escalade and sped out of the driveway, immediately crossing over a concrete curb and onto a grass median. Swerving hard to his left, he crossed Deacon Circle, jumped a curb, grazed a row of hedges, swerved back across the road, and collided with a fire hydrant before plowing into a tree in his next-door neighbor's yard. Swinging the club, Elin shattered the rear driver's side and rear passenger's side windows. Kimberly Harris woke to the knocking sound of a sputtering engine. Looking out the window, she saw a black SUV at the bottom of her driveway. The front end was crumpled against the tree, and the lone remaining headlight was shining at the house. Worried, she woke her 27-year-old brother, Jarius Adams. "I don't know who's outside," she told him, "but I think you need to go out there and find out what's happening." Adams walked cautiously out the front door, trying to process what he was seeing. Woods was lying flat on his back on the pavement. He was shoeless, unconscious, and bleeding from the mouth. There was broken glass on the driveway and a bent golf club beside the vehicle. Sniffling, Elin hovered over her husband. "Tiger," she whispered, gently shaking his shoulders. "Tiger, are you okay?" Crouching down, Adams observed that Tiger was asleep, snoring. His lip was cut. His teeth were bloodstained. "Please help me," Elin said. "I don't have a phone with me. Will you call someone?" Adams ran back inside and yelled to his sister to get blankets and pillows. "Tiger is down," he told her. Then he ran back outside and called 911. Dispatcher. 911, what's your emergency? Adams. I need an ambulance immediately. I have someone down in front of my house. Dispatcher. Sir, is it a car accident? Adams. Yes. Dispatcher. Now, are they trapped inside of the vehicle? Adams. No, they're lying on the ground now. Dispatcher. Medical is on the line, sir, okay? Adams. I have a neighbor. He hit the tree, and we came out here just to see what was going on. I see him, and he's laying down. Dispatcher. Are you able to tell if he's breathing? Adams. No, I can't tell right now. Suddenly, Cultita Woods emerged from Tiger's house and ran toward the scene. What happened? She yelled. We're trying to figure that out, Adams told her. I'm on the phone with the police right now. Tears in her eyes, Cultita turned to Elin. Soon they heard a siren and saw blue lights approaching. A Windermere Police Department cruiser pulled up, followed by an ambulance, a sheriff, and a Florida highway patrolman. Paramedics checked Tiger's vital signs and started testing for paralysis, attempting to generate movement by stimulating his left foot. Groaning, Tiger opened his eyes, only for his pupils to roll back in his head while his eyelids remained open. All that was visible were the whites of his eyes. As the paramedics hoisted Tiger's gurney into the ambulance and sped off, Cultita's question lingered in the air. What happened? Why had Tiger Woods fled his home in the middle of the night? And how did the most celebrated athlete of our time end up looking lifeless on the side of the road? Within days, the world would be asking far more troubling questions. The answers, much like the man, proved to be complicated. And when retracing a twisted journey, the best place to start is the beginning.